this is about Indian financial sector. Like just now we discussed about banking sector, so you will find, you will see insurance comprised of life insurance. This sector, I hope in the coming decades, is going to grow much, much faster. Still, as compared to the world, we are not very, very strong in terms of penetration and density of life insurance. Non-life, I'm talking about health insurance, other like motor insurance, fire insurance, capital market, asset management companies, mutual fund, broking companies, if you want to do some direct investing in stocks or bonds, wealth management companies, they will be managing your wealth. With disposable income increasing of Indians, I think in the coming days, you will find they will be able to do much better. With all young people, they will have a more disposable income. They understand the importance of saving. And saving to grow, not only saving to be put into something which has not grown. So this will again change the dynamics of wealth management, personal finance, investment banking. These are all about capital market, and capital market regulated again by a very, very strong regulator, Securities Exchange Board of India. Non-banking finance companies. So these are all about financial services sector, which is a part of the broad financial sector. Already two components we have discussed. One is banking, the other one is financial services. NBFCs, non-banking financial companies. NBFCs provide a range of financial services to the business and individuals, including asset finance, loan origination and servicing, investment banking, and debt collection. Mainly NBFCs have played a very, very important role in distributing of loan, credit to the people. Like today you will find personal loan is so common. Credit growth is phenomenal in the last few years, typically in the last year. So the difference between NBFCs and banks are, NBFCs cannot accept demand deposit to that extent. NBFCs do not form a part of the payment settlement system as compared to banks. But NBFCs cannot issue checks drawn on itself. But this sector is doing really, really good in Indian financial services. And I think you will find few more NBFCs getting into, like one of the leader, Jio, which is going to enter into this in the coming days, will again change the entire ecosystem of NBFCs. So NBFCs cannot operate without having a valid registration certification from RBI. They do are under the lens of Reserve Bank of India. So this is one more area of Indian financial sector. So we have covered banking, we have covered capital market, financial services, NBFCs. Housing finance companies are regulated by National Housing Bank, NHB. They give credit loan to the FANG to buy house, residence. And it's not a small ticket, it's not a personal loan or few thousand. When it comes to housing loan, we talk about lakhs and crores. So this sector give a good subsidize, I'll say, not exactly subsidize, but as compared to the personal loan, a rate of interest is less and being properly managed by housing finance companies. Merchant bank, venture capital fund companies, stock exchange brokers, they all are controlled by Securities Exchange Board of India and part of the financial sector. Venture capital, you will find lot of startups are starting. They want what? They want capital. Alternative investment funds. So these funds, they provide credit, they provide capital to the startups, to the budding entrepreneurs who have the idea, who have the passion. What they really need is money, capital. So they can provide. Insurance companies are regulated by IRDA, Insurance Regulatory Development Authority. Chit fund companies are regulated by respective state governments. Nidhi companies are regulated by Ministry of Corporate Affairs. So all financial sector, every aspect, every part of financial sector is being properly controlled, regulated. Policies are being drawn. How they will be able to handle, everything is laid out for the betterment of us, of consumers, so that we are not cheated. Now we'll get into another important aspect of financial sector, fintech. Fin stand for financial sector and tech stand for technology. So technology getting into finance, and which has turned around in the last few years. So fintech, now even banks are transforming and getting into this sphere. So fintech and financial services, fintech is all comprising within about financial sector. India currently has the third largest fintech ecosystem globally, third largest. And the Indian fintech industry is estimated to be around 150 billion by 2025. I think we will be much, much more in terms of value and in terms of volume, as currently we are around fourth or fifth largest economy, and by next 5 decades we are looking at to be the third largest economy with 140 crore plus people, with lot of aspiring young middle class high disposable income citizens available. This sector called fintech is going to grow much faster. So India has the world highest fintech adoption of around 87%. The global average is around 34%. So we are all now digitally well equipped. Typically the young generation in India is young as on date. We have got a major population, a young population, earning population who spend between 20, 25 to 55 years old. So next few decades, I think it's our now turn to turn around, to show to the world that yes, India is a strong economy financially too. And I think fintech is going to again change around. So RBI has number of fully owned subsidiaries in fintech sector that include Reserve Bank Information Technology Private Limited, India Financial Technology and Allied Services, and Reserve Bank Innovation Hub to tackle the financial aspect of technology aspect of finance. To enable regulated and orderly growth of fintech ecosystem in India, the RBI has set up their own regulatory sandbox ecosystem. With the sandbox, the eligible entities can live, test their innovative products or services in a controlled environment. RBI knows about it, that this is going to be the future. So they are building upon the ecosystem of fintech. So initiatives in digital transformation, DX, include activities such as creating mobile banking apps, implementing artificial intelligence in customer services, something which we discussed in the last chapter, using blockchain technology for secure and efficient transaction. RBI, Reserve Bank of India, Government of India, they want this technology of blockchain, which was the talk of the world, is to be used for more efficient transactions. Digital transformation benefits such as cost reduction, increased efficiency, data analytics for accurate forecast, informed decision making, etc., leading to improve what? Profitability. Ultimately, as I mentioned, that this sector, or banking or non-banking or financial services, they all vertically want, they vertically want high revenue and high profitability. And they want more effective, they want their operation to be more efficient, better customer services, making personalized recommendation and adding more services, etc. That's what the aim of digital aspects is. Boston Consulting Group has predicted that India's digital payment market will increase more than thrice from 3 trillion to 12 trillion by the year 2026. With the launch of Unified Payment Interface, the UPI, the Googles, the PhonePays in 2016, India has addressed the open banking. It's a kind of an open banking. Like Google Pay or PhonePay, they are not banks. But we are doing all banking transactions through these interfaces, through these apps, which is called as TPA, third party apps. Why? Because of this term called as open banking. And it has transformed everything. Digital payment, payment through UPI has done remarkably well, unexpected, because a lot of criticism was there when it was launched. But they have proved, UPI has proved, Indians have proved everybody wrong. And we are wrong very, very strong when it comes to digital payments. Fintech in financial services. According to Boston Consulting Group, PhonePe, the number one player in terms of market cap, has around 47% of UPI market share, followed by Google Pay around 34% in the first three quarters of financial 23, and still they hold. These two players has got a major share when it comes to UPI payments. Financial transaction via digital channels accounted for around 94% of the overall transaction, which is remarkable, Who says that India is not digitally, or we are not financial literate when it comes to digital transactions? The total share of UPI transaction was around 42% in 9 months of financial 23. So these are all about fintech. So as on March 23, the total number of ATM in India reached to 1474,540. Still we go to ATMs, but I think you will find in the coming decades, like with UPI gaining so much of ground, visit to the ATMs will be down. Digitalization of agri finance was conceptualized jointly by Reserve Bank of India and Reserve Bank Innovation Hub, enabling the delivery of Kisan credit cards loans in a fully digital and hassle-free manner. Credit card, which is more of an urban phenomena, now what we basically entering into is that farmers, the rural people, they also get the access of credit card by way of Kisan credit cards. NPCI, now what exactly? UPI is a product of a child, I'll say, of NPCI. So National Payment Corporation of India, formed jointly in 2008 by Reserve Bank of India and Indian Bank Association, has since launched over 10 payment methods, various other methods. We are just know NPCI with UPI, but not NPCI is a really has digitally, it's a transform India. So what they have come up with, banking card, unstructured supplementary service data, Aadhaar enabled payment system. Now you can have a Aadhaar and you can assess bank just by having Aadhaar. Now instead of we reaching to the bank, bank can reach to the, you, a person can go to the person of a typically like an, if I am with a bank, I can carry a small instrument and go to the person in a village and he will just give me the Aadhaar card, and with biometric I will be able to give him all the banking requirement sitting at their home, not asking people to come to the bank, and can transact. They can get the statement, they can see how much the balance is there. If they want any transaction to be done, that can be done just by Aadhaar. That's what Aadhaar has done to India, and it is called as Aadhaar enabled payment systems. UPI, all of you know, already have talked in detail about unified payment interface. Mobile wallets, bank prepaid cards. So UPI, another thing with UPI is about RuPay cards. Now RuPay is entering into in a big way as compared to the some international cards which were available. So UPI has done phenomenal job in association with Reserve Bank of India to make India digitally in terms of payments, in terms of financial transactions. So all other things, point of sale, interbank banking, mobile banking, micro ATM, these are again some of the areas of. Now some more data for you guys. Millennials, 34% of Indian population, and Gen Zs, 27% of the population prefer to conduct financial transaction digitally rather than visiting bank branch. I don't know how long, but we will be like stop visiting the physical branch, because everything we can do much better, much more effectively 24/7 throughout the day, sitting at our place with our app or with our any other instrument in our hand and do the banking transaction. These tech-saving millennials or Gen Zers are the primary drivers of growth in financial services, with millennials contributing hugely to the country's economy. Very good to see, because they have the confidence. And now I am finding not only the young generation, even seniors also, they are now getting accustomed to digital way of doing banking. Initially, there were some hiccups, they were little bit concerned about, but yes, along with it, there is a caution also to be very, very careful. Typically, when you're dealing in digital payments, in terms of your OTPs, in terms of your passwords, in terms of your mobile phone, not giving access of these vital aspects to anybody else who is unknown. So this generation expect banks to offer personalized services that will be more customized in the coming days, that meet their specific needs with transparency and convenience of transacting business as a given. So they will, I think, they are already, and they know about it, and I think they will give a flip to this sector, because now they are doing everything digitally. Let us now come back from BFSI to AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, which we discussed in the last chapter. We have to integrate both of them now in the coming chapters. So artificial intelligence and machine learning can be used to analyze customer data, because banking, transaction, payment is all about data. Data about customer and data about the transactions we have done. So much of data. And AI and machine learning can help to analyze that and provide personalized recommendation and services to meet the customer expectation. Juniper Research Survey predicts at operational cost saving of around 7.3 billion globally by end of the 23 from using chatbots. A person is talking to us, helping us to get everything done, as if some person is sitting. In banking, integration of which according to EY will be so seamless that customer will discern no difference between them by 2030. Total turnaround. Artificial intelligence powered chatbots can be used to provide 24/7 customer 365 days service. Not that today holiday or today is not available, and answer frequently all questions, any query you have, it will be answered. And the machine learning can be used to predict customer needs, what they are expecting, and proactively offer relevant products and services. So what they can do, in machine learning or artificial intelligence, they can interpret, they can analyze that what people are asking for, how to give them a better solution, why they are looking at it, how to make it more better. They can customize, they can fulfill before even we ask for the need is being fulfilled by the solution they will be provide. That's what artificial intelligence is all about, and it is going to be much, much more relevant in the coming years and decades. Robotic process automation, we discussed in the last chapter, can also be used to automate repetitive and manual tasks. Repetitive and manual tasks, such as data entry and document processing, which is more, repetitive, can be done much more effectively by robots as compared to humans. So this can help in improving the efficiency and providing customer with faster and more seamless service, quick service without an error. Machines can do vis-a-vis humans. Financial services players are embedding their offers with solutions that will create better opportunities. They are trying and exploring more unique ways of giving better services to the customer, better opportunities, and in turn, making more profits, more revenues. For example, insurers offering low price insurance plans, or airlines or railway tickets or banking players offering attractive interest rates. EMI options are buy now, pay later, which is becoming very, very popular with young generation. That you consume more today and consume more and pay later, which has some areas of concern also. But I think fintech has changed. Credit growth has phenomenal in the last few years. People are taking a lot of credit, which will give a flip. And it's not only they can credit. Getting credit, getting loan has become so easy nowadays because of this. So for example, artificial intelligence powered chatbots can be used to provide 24/7 customer service and answer frequently asked questions. You ask a question, the answer will be given. Any question you ask, and if they, because by asking different question, what basically we are doing is we helping machine to learn, machine to process that information and to give us a better solution. Machine learning can be used to predict customer needs, what they are looking at by way of what kind of a questioning they are doing, and proactively offering relevant products and services. They will be more proactive. Robotic process automation can also be used to automate repetitive and manual tasks. Just now we discussed. So I think fintech has changed around. India's digital infrastructure, known as India Stack, is the topic of debate and research as the key contributor to country's open banking journey. Like I just now elaborated about UPI, which is an open banking journey, open banks. In the future, financial services player will try to embed themselves with solution that will create better opportunities. Insurance players offering low insurance plans or airline tickets, we have just now elaborated on that. So this was about BFSI sector in detail. So I'll just summarize whatever we have just now learned about banking, financial services, and insurance sector. Before that, we talked about AI. In the coming chapters, now I'm going to get into AI into this sector one by one. So if we'll say first and foremost an important part of BFSI's banking sector, then financial services, and then we will get into insurance. So thank you very much for attending this session of BFSI overview. I hope you have got a good insight about this sector called as BFSI. Thank you very much. Thank you all of you.